Hello, everyone. So today we've got Joe and I to give you the weekly news break from the last week. So unfortunately...
It's real news, not fake news.
Unfortunately, Shep's is a bit busy today, so you're stuck with us. But obviously, you can follow us on Toilets of Titles on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter. You can go to our website, toiletsoftitles.com. And you can also jump
on
in
Facebook.
To our...
On Facebook, Patreon. Patreon. Yes. We got Facebook two pages, Toilets to Titles, as well as When a Family Breaks, which is dedicated to the trading of sports memorabilia. But our videos are on there too. And like Andrew was saying, Patreon.com/Toilets to Titles. You can find out how you can further support this show.
Yeah, there's three different levels on there, so get on and check it out. obviously, for me, it's. Almost 11 o'clock in the morning here, so I'm obviously, if you're not aware, down in Australia, so it's a bit weird speaking to Joe and seeing the black background behind him, but
yeah, right. Yeah. 9 p.m. over here. I just came back from a really hot, sweaty walk. It's humid over here in northeastern New Jersey. It was really beautiful for like the past 2 days. It was nice and cool. It was feeling like football weather. It was feeling like autumn, like nice and crisp and cool, and just like later on today, just started getting like kind of not hot, but humid again. And I just came back from a long walk with the dog. I was just like, ugh. I'm all ready to do the news though.
Yeah, well, we're just coming out of winter, so at least like the sun's shining here today. So that's a good start. Right. But yeah, so I've got my my coffee today. So apologies if I keep having my coffees in the middle of our conversations. But let's get started.
I have my coffee at night too. Yeah, let's do it, my friend. Let's do it. A lot of news, and we've got football week coming up. So this is kind of like the last news before the NFL season officially starts. Looking so forward to it, but let's get this news rolling, baby.
So firstly, Trey Lance with a chip bone in his finger. So they say he's going to rest a week. So presumably he's still going to be around for week one. But how do you see that playing out? Because it's kind of really sort of bizarre, that situation where, you know, like when Jacksonville said, oh, we don't know our quarterback, it was sort of like, yes, you do. But in this situation, I'm really not sure when Trey Lance is going to come in. It's an interesting situation.
If I'm them, I mean, was he named the starter? I just let everyone know, I kind of like the past few weeks I've taken a break from football. I actually went on vacation in Mexico with the family. So there's definitely some news like I got to catch up on. But has Trey Lance been named the starting quarterback, or was it Garoppolo who's named yet? Do you know?
Neither have been named. And then during preseason, they were chopping and changing. So
yeah, you know what? If I'm the 49ers, I'm assuming they're gonna roll with Garoppolo. What's the point of throwing in Trey Lance, who do you have one starting year in college under his belt? So you know, it was a tremendous year, don't get me wrong. And I'm really high on Trey Lance myself. I thought it was great when they moved up to get him this year, when they drafted him, and I thought it was the right move. I really like Trey Lance a lot. But I don't think there's any point in rushing him. And he's got a chip bone. Whatever. Sit on the sidelines, you know, just watch the NFL, you know, watch the NFL from the sidelines for a little bit and learn. You got Garoppolo there.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the thing with Garoppolo is I think, you know, injuries is his biggest issue. So I think it's a great situation because you play him and then you let Lance sit there and learn. And then eventually, if Garoppolo does get injured or maybe his play drops off, then you've got Lance sitting there. So I think it's a great situation. It's kind of almost Kansas City. When Kansas City had Alex Smith and then they brought in Mahomes, I feel like it's that kind of situation where you're still happy if you've got Garoppolo. Like, he can still do things.
He knows the offense. He's been to the Super Bowl in this team, with this offense, with this coach. So really, it's like, I think it's a perfect situation. There's no need to rush, Lance. And when Shanahan feels that he's ready and it's time, then make that switch. And I don't know when that'll be. Maybe, who knows, maybe he does throw in week one. I'd be surprised by that. But, you know, what's the rush? You know, you've got a quarterback there who knows the system, you know, like we both said, and there's just no reason to rush it. So.
Yeah, well, so, and the next one feels like it was years ago, but obviously it was this week. But Cam Newton being released, it was kind of an interesting thing for a lot of people. I don't think anyone thought we'd get to this point and he would be released.
You know what? I think for me, it makes sense. Cut the cord, go with Mac Jones. The way I see it is that the Patriots are not competing for a Super Bowl this year. So even with Cam Newton at the helm, so you know, and not that they can't have a winning record, and not that they can't make the playoffs, if they had Cam Newton there as a starting quarterback, but really the ultimate goal is, you know, especially since they just drafted a quarterback in the first round, who obviously they mean to be, you know, who they're hoping to be, will be their long-term starter over the next like 12, 15 years. The what you want to get to is the point of sustained success with a young quarterback. So, you know, you're really with Cam Newton, and it's nothing against him. It's not, I think he can go to a good team and be a starter who needs a quarterback. And I think he could still do well. But with the Patriots, I don't think the Patriots really in a position to really compete, you know, say for a Super Bowl to make a really big, deep playoff run. And if you're not going to do that, go with the quarterback that you drafted. And you know, they could have done the same thing like Garoppolo and Trey Lance, where you know, you have Mac Jones who's, you know, who can get some time to sit, watch a little bit. You know, it's not like Cam Newton's making all that much money for, you know, for an experienced quarterback who's been to the Super Bowl. They could have went that way, but you know, if they feel like Mac Jones is ready, then so be it. Like I said, it's like I don't think they were going to go all that far with Cam anyway. So, you know, I kind of get it. I was a little surprised, but I get it. How about you, Andrew?
So this was the first year that I really sort of like looked into college footage for quarterbacks. And so like the thing that I noticed about Mac Jones was he seemed to throw his receivers open. A couple of the other guys, they sort of tend to, you know, throw sort of almost back shoulder of the guys as they're running, which is obviously not, you know, conducive to wide receivers. So the minute he was drafted by the Patriots, I thought, this is a Patriots quarterback right there. Like, I feel like even if he doesn't
It
have the
made
greatest
sense.
arm or whatever, I feel like he can thrive in that system. And then I think the thing is, I do wonder whether or not wide receivers would like playing with Cam, because you know he's not going to throw those big numbers, and then they're going to get down in the end zone and he's going to run it. So I feel like there's an
Which
uptick
is
for Harris at the goal line for his rushing. I feel like there's an uptick with the wide receivers because I feel like they're going to get the ball more. So I do think that the offense is going to be more interesting with Mac Jones. Yeah, long term, whether or not it's this year or going forward, I think, you know, it's a good way for them to spend a whole season to know what they've got in Mac Jones and whether or not they need to look at another quarterback. So.
I give teams, coaches, general managers a lot of leeway when it comes to the quarterbacks. I think every situation is different. Every quarterback is different. You know, a lot of times you're hearing like people scream for like, you got to throw in your first year quarterback, you know, because you got to win like 5 Super Bowls before he hits that, you know, free agency period, which when he signs that second contract, it almost sounds like it's almost like, what's the point of even signing a quarterback to the second contract? Because it sounds like you screwed yourself. Like, you know, like you're not going to make it back to the Super Bowl anyway. But you know what? Hey, listen, if they feel Mac Jones, they want to go roll with Mac Jones, I'm cool with that. I don't think it's crazy. I thought Mac Jones was when the Patriots drafted him and he fell to them and they didn't even have to move up to get the guy. I know everyone else is more interested in the, you know, the, I guess the skill set, the athleticism of like a Justin Fields and a Trey Lance. And I get it, especially in today's modern NFL, you know, more and more quarterbacks are succeeding like that. I'm 50 years old. When I was growing up, quarterbacks like that, when they were athletic like that, they usually stunk because that's like all they relied on, because that's all they did in college. It's not like that anymore. These guys are running and they're airing the ball out in college, and it's more and more translating to transitioning well to the NFL. But Mac Jones is a pocket passer, and like, and that's a great point that you made, Andrew. You know, really good strength about him is that he throws his wide receivers open. And I think that's a key thing. And I think that's obviously something that appealed to Belichick. That's Brady-esque. You know, it's the type of quarterback that he is. And I thought it was a really good pickup for the Patriots. And I think you got the feeling that's the feeling that people felt like this was kind of like a boring pick, or like, you know, oh, Mac Jones, you know, he's not athletic like the other guys. I think the guy's got the chance to be a really good quarterback, just a really good quarterback. Not going to be a great athlete, but a really good quarterback. And really, when you're a quarterback, what do you want first and foremost? Don't you want a guy that can distribute the ball well? Isn't that the most first, you know, guy who's an accurate passer, a guy who's a pocket passer? To me, the guys who can run like a Lamar Jackson, or you know, or just even scramble to buy more time like an Aaron Rodgers, that's icing on the cake when you can get that, you know. So, but I'm excited for Mac Jones. You know, good for the Patriots. I'm glad they're going down this road. You know, I'm happy to see it. So I know Matt must be. I wonder how Matt feels about it.
Yeah, well, I think he's pretty pumped. So
New beginning.
I'm actually surprised we didn't get him to do a bathroom break on it, because I think it would have been good to get his opinion on it. But maybe we can line that up for the week.
Yeah, good idea. Good idea. I'm excited for him. Hope he's excited. So, and we got on the next, we've got Irv Smith out for the year. People were expecting a lot of big things, tight end for the Vikings. So, I don't know. I don't know how that's really going to affect him, because really it's not like this is like Travis Kelce we're talking about, like someone who's like already put up big numbers, Irv Smith. But there were, the guy is a talented player, and there were expectations coming, of him coming into this year. But, it's not like we've really seen it. So, and last year, they already have good offense, the Vikings. You can question the quarterback a little bit, but we know what you got there. He is an NFL level quarterback. He's not elite Cousins, but he's a solid quarterback, and he's got great weapons, so at wide receiver and running back. I mean, you can't ask for much more than that. So, I don't know how much it's really going to impact him. Obviously it'd be better to have your starting tight end, but what are your thoughts on the Irv Smith situation? That he's out for the year.
Yeah, look, I had him in a few spots, hoping for that kind of uptick that, maybe this was going to be the year. Weirdly enough, right. I also had a lot of Herndon as well, sort of thinking, well, he's going to be the guy in the Jets, because they didn't really bring anyone in to sort of like, take his spot. But then what's interesting is with the trade of Herndon going there, everyone sort of thinks that it's an uptick for Herndon, but I don't really see it that way. Like the guy's, now got a week or so to learn a new offense.
Yeah.
I kind of see, I think that maybe Herndon's now going to probably fade into oblivion, and then, Irv Smith, we're going to be left waiting for another year. So, look, it's the tight end. I think we've been blessed with a couple of really good ones, and then we're left with the rest of them who are athletically gifted, hoping for that diamond in the rough. And, you can go through, like guys like Jonnu Smith and all that kind of thing that we keep waiting for them to break out, but it hasn't happened.
Right.
I think it's probably because we look at the tight end position now from a Kelce, from a Kittle, rather than being realistic on what it's been in the past.
You're right. Hey, you know who just chimed in? Matt just chimed in and said, Brains Trust of T2T right here. I was like, hey, Matt, are you happy with Matt Jones?
Yeah.
Matt is our in-house Patriots fan. But you know what? I'll tell you, Herndon, I don't know how he's going to do, great point that you brought up. He's going to take a little time to learn the offense. I'm not a huge believer in Herndon, to be honest with you. I never really understood there was a little bit of hype around this guy that I never really understood. And it's not like he was being compared to Travis Kelce or anything, but I just remember hearing like other fans or, whether it was people in fantasy or NFL fans or just saying, oh, look out for Herndon, look out for Herndon. And I'm like, I don't know. You got to show it to me first before I'll believe in that. So we'll see. But I think Minnesota's offense is going to be fine. They're just so loaded. Jeez, Justin Jefferson coming in the second year. You got Thielen. You got Dalvin Cook. I think they're looking good. And then, all right, so Dak, the big man on campus down in Dallas. Dak is a full go in practice. No restrictions after that brutal injury last year, against my Giants were breaking ankles last year. And and he was a victim. All clean hits, nothing dirty at all. But, I'm really good to see Dak is back. He's a great guy, great quarterback. And, I'm glad to see he's a full go. I think he's going to have a really good year. As a matter of fact, I have in one of my fantasy leagues this year, I've got one of my teams I drafted Dak, as a matter of fact, as my quarterback, and I took him pretty early too. I don't think his being on pace last year for 6,000 yards, and even though I think he only played like 5 or 6 games before he had the injury, I don't think that was a fluke. I think that offense is ready to fly, and I think Dak is ready to fly as well. As a Cowboys fan, as one of our in-house Cowboys fans, how are you feeling, Andrew, about this, about Dak? You feeling positive?
Well, yeah, I might actually sort of like condense. So we've got, obviously Sheps and I have put a fair bit of information into this doc. So there's a lot of information about the Cowboys. So we can probably condense it into one section. So
go for it.
Yeah, I sort of think that Dak's going to go pretty well this year. So basically,
I agree.
The big news over the last week is Lael Collins, the right tackle, has had a stinger. And so Tyron Smith and Leighton Van Der Esch have both had a lot of stinger kind of issues over the last couple of years, and both of them had to go have surgery to fix it. So the minute I hear the stinger word around the Cowboys, I worry because, you know, Van Der Esch and Smith have spent a lot of time on the sidelines. So they're basically nursing him through, and the hope is that he'll be ready for this week. And then the big news this morning was that Zach Martin is now on the COVID list, so he's out for this week. So he's out. Yep. Our other guard has just come off the COVID list. Lael Collins may or may not play. So I'm worried already. It's, you know, week one, and I'm already worried about the line. I still think, you know, whatever happens, Dak's going to have to throw the ball. It probably affects Zeke a bit more because I think the Cowboys are going to have to throw a lot this week against the Bucks. I think, you know, I think it's going to be a high scoring game one way or the other. So look, it's going to be interesting to see. So
I think the boys are going to get their share of points. I realize that, you know, this has been, Dallas has had an incredibly solid, very good elite offensive line for a long time. Anyone who's a fan of the NFL, even if you're not a Cowboys fan, you know that. They pretty much, you know, set the pace for the NFL when it comes to the offensive line for a long time now. And, I'm not knowledgeable about the depth of their O-line, but they still obviously have good players there. But this is an offense that, you know, listen, unfortunately, you're going against the Super Bowl champions, so that's not an easy task. And that's a good defense you're going against, too. But this is a team that, you know, good young talent still. It's still young talent, your key players, quarterback, your running back, your wide receivers. And they've been in this offense for a while. I think Zeke looks great. I think he's going to have a monster year. And I took him, too, in one of my leagues as well. I took him over. Who did I take him over? Did I take him? No, I didn't take him over Kamara, but I took him over. I think I took him over Chubb. And I think he's going to have a really big year, Zeke. And you know what? Even I think with some injuries on the line, I think he's ready to roll. And I think Zeke is going to make it happen. I have full faith in him. I think he's just such a really good running back. And I think last year was just everything went wrong, you know, for Dallas, you know, with all the lines, all the injury on the lines with the quarterback. It was just, and, you know, and Zeke didn't look good. He did look overweight, but I think it was just everything went wrong with that team, new coaching staff as well. And I think they're ready to roll. So, you know, the offensive line is definitely something to look, you know, to be worried about. Hey, I'm a Giants fan. I wish I had some of those names, you know, on my offensive line. So we're basically like a bunch of young nobodies, unproven, and we'll see about that. But you know, speaking of my Giants, like, oh, hang on one second. Now my mouse isn't working. I've got my ESPN page up, and there's a video that's auto-playing. I apologize. It's gone. Sorry about that. But, you know, speaking of Giants news, let me just skip down a little bit, if you don't mind, real quick. Giants, speaking of my New York Giants, we've got Saquon this week. Saquon, Galladay, and Tony all back at practice. Galladay and Tony have yet to see the field this year in preseason. So that's good news for us. Whether or not they're contributing early on, I don't know, because, you know, they haven't really been working with the offense too much, obviously. Galladay was their big-time free agency signing this year. Tony was the number one draft. Me, myself, with Tony, my expectations were kind of low for this year anyway, because he's a rookie, and he really only had one big year at Florida. That was last year. But still, you want to see these guys on the field. You know, I'm just glad they're there. I want to see them playing week one, week two, week three. The biggest news is Saquon is back. And, you know, I'm not sure how that's going to play out in terms of his workload. But he's been, you know, full practice. He's been taking hits you know, he's been getting hit in practice. So, it's real practice for him. That means something. And as a Giants fan, I'd say take it a little easy with him. You know, obviously have him play against the Broncos in game one, game two, game three, just increase his workload. But I just want to see that guy healthy. All those guys must be healthy. If the Giants are going to succeed, if Daniel Jones has any chance of making it out of this year as continuing to be their starting quarterback, he needs Barkley first and foremost. He needs Galladay. He needs Tony to, you know, produce as the year goes on. He needs all these guys, and he needs the offensive line, the young line that they're counting on to come on and, you know, and just and progress. So we'll see what happens. But as a Giants fan, that's great news to see Barkley, Galladay, and Tony all back at practice this week in time for week one. please don't get injured, guys. Don't get injured before that game starts, please. If you're going to get injured, at least wait until game one. Just make it to the game. That's how I feel. I hate preseason. I love it because football's here, but I get so worried about injuries. It's such a downer, man. It's such a downer when someone gets injured, and especially if it's like a season-ending injury. But moving on to Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz. I never thought this guy would be back this early. Never. Carson Wentz. I remember when he was first injured and there was talk about him possibly being out for the rest of the season. And, you know, it was a serious injury. And I didn't think he was actually going to be back this early, but here he is, Carson Wentz. So any thoughts on Carson Wentz, Andrew?
Oh, look, it's interesting because I think it's, you know, got like going back to Irv Smith has always been about potential. Whereas at least with Wentz, we've seen it before. Whether or not he can get back to that level, we don't know. So it's kind of that thing of him and Darnold are going to be the ones that I'm really interested to see this year because, yeah. You know, it's a question of like, yeah, I mean, we always talk about, you know, like a guy comes in and he's going to be amazing. And then we don't really talk about the coaching staff. And I think these two are both going to be a really good like case of how does the coaching staff affect the player? Because if these two guys come and then they ball out, then all of a sudden we have to start looking at their former teams and say, what were you doing wrong? So,
absolutely.
I'm really interested in that offense. I think, you know, it's going to be an interesting kind of situation. Like he's got a really good running back. He's got a really good offensive line. I'm interested to see.
Me too. I mean, listen, we're both fans of teams in the NFC East, and me, myself, I'm glad that Carson Wentz is out because I thought he was being held back by the coaching staff, I guess, but definitely by the decisions of the front office and who they were acquiring on the, you know, their offensive line. You know, they used to be right up there with the Cowboys, one of the top offensive lines for quite a few years. You know, they got old. They didn't do a good job of replenishing that offensive line. The wide receivers they've drafted over the past years are, you know, these are guys who I think that had talent, but they probably were drafted too high and not guys that you wanted to rely upon necessarily to be top flight receivers. So I think he was, you know, he was undermined there too. Miles Sanders is, you know, a running back who I think's got all the talent in the world, but a guy who gets injured a lot. And so Carson Wentz is just kind of like, you know, this guy, I don't think you have a year like he did. The year they went to the Super Bowl, which he didn't play in because he got injured. The year he was having was like an MVP type season. I don't think that's a fluke. I don't think you have a year like that, and then you just all of a sudden you stink. You know, I think he's going in a great situation with Frank Reich, who was the offensive coordinator, I guess, or quarterbacks coach for the Eagles in their Super Bowl run. I think he's a heck of a head coach. I think Carson Wentz is absolutely going to thrive there. You know, like you pointed out, Andrew, he's got a good offensive line. He's got weapons. I don't think he's got the best weapons. He's got, I think, a good running game. I think he could use like an elite wide receiver, but I think they're good enough with that offensive line. I think it's going to help out a lot. Frank Reich, and I think you're going to see it. I thought it was a great trade for the Colts. I'm really excited with you, like you. I'm really excited to see what Carson Wentz can do in Indianapolis, and I bet that he's going to succeed. I really do, as long as he's healthy. And Sam Darnold, too. You know, I think Sam Darnold is a talented young quarterback, and I think he's going to be a much better situation in Carolina. And so I'm eager to see that as well. I'm with you, Mr. Campy. And also T.Y. Hilton, this doesn't help Wentz. You know, he's been put on the pup list, but, you know, Hilton's kind of like, you know, it's not the same T.Y. Hilton of 5 years ago, you know. So number one wide receiver in Indianapolis, you think it's going to be Pittman?
I think it has to be now, doesn't it? I think, I think, you know,
I hope T.Y. so. Hilton, I think him over one of my drafts.
I think, you know, T.Y. Hilton, I think he's, you know, he was still a savvy vet. So I think he was, you know, that good kind of release valve for Carson Wentz. And so not having him is going to hurt. But yeah, I think, look, it's interesting because I think, you know, their wide receivers, I think, are going to be in a good position now where the ball is going to be coming at them. And, you know, as we talked about, the offensive line is pretty good. So it means that the wide receivers are going to have enough time to get out of their routes and hopefully get open. So if Pittman can get open, I think he's going to see targets. So, look, it's going to be interesting to see.
There's a lot of expectations for Pittman this year, a lot of talk about Pittman. And I hope, like I said, I just took him in one of my leagues, a draft that I had on just a few days ago, as a matter of fact. And so, and I was like, I was taking like running backs. And I was waiting on wide receivers. And I was like, you know, when it came time to take some wide receivers, Pittman was like one of the only ones left anyway. And then I'm like, man, I need this guy to pan out for me. So go Pittman. And so then Michael Thomas is also a lot of players going to the PUP this week. Michael Thomas is on the PUP. You know, and I had a question in here, you know, is Callaway going to be the number one wide receiver in New Orleans? I guess, you know, like with Pittman, it's the only thing that makes sense, you know, but he's another wide receiver, Callaway, another young wide receiver that people are talking about with expectations. So, Michael Thomas, I mean, the whole situation with him is weird anyway. So, you know, he's on the PUP list. So he's gone for like half the season. You know, people are, you know, you can draft that guy late and stash him. If you can hold on to him that long, you can stash him if you got the space for him. But even when he comes back, you know, I don't know what it's going to be like, because he had a weird year last year. Drew Brees isn't there. I'm interested to see what Winston can do with Sean Payton. But I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Michael Thomas ever since he signed that second contract. But any thoughts on Thomas, Callaway?
Yeah, well, I've said previously on this show, I'm worried now with Thomas because he feels like he's going a bit of that Antonio Brown route, which is not really a great thing. With Callaway, I think, you know, Callaway's eyes probably lit up when he heard that Jameis Winston was going to be the starter, because clearly those two have got some kind of connection going. And say what you like about Jameis, but he's going to throw the ball to his wide receivers.
He can air it. He can air the ball out.
I think the ball's going to be coming Callaway's way. So, you know, no excuses. You know, does he have the talent to be that wide receiver one? We're going to find out, aren't we?
We'll see. Yeah, it's going to be interesting in New Orleans. It's a new era in New Orleans. So just like you know, the Patriots and Tom Brady moving on, and now the Saints, Drew Brees is going on, and we'll see. It's going to be darn interesting. But you know what? Who knows? Maybe with Michael Thomas, it's a great comparison about, you're right, it's very Antonio Brown-esque. So maybe this is Michael Thomas's plot to get himself to Tampa Bay and play with Tom Brady. Just start acting kind of crazy, you know? Oh, geez. So Sammy Watkins, Ravens news, Sammy Watkins is back at practice, which helps them. They're really going to need him. I know. I don't think Rashad Bateman's back yet from injury. No. And he's their very talented first round pick. But again, he's a rookie wide receiver anyway. As much as I love Rashad Bateman, as much as I believe in him, as much as I thought that was a great pick for the Ravens, you know, he's a rookie anyway. So, you know, there's only, you know, the expectations. What can your expectations really be? Not everyone's going to be Justin Jefferson or OBJ in their first years when they're putting up like 1,400 yards. So, but, you know, I think it's important for Watkins to get back. It's good that, you know, that he's back at practice. You know, Lamar Jackson's going to need him. I still think Lamar Jackson's going to have a great year. I really do. But, you know, I do think he's got the most talented wide receiving core that he's had since he's been the quarterback for the Ravens, which hasn't been long. But, you know, when Rashad Bateman does get back, and I do think he'll eventually be their number one, and you can have Hollywood Brown be the number two, like he really should have been all along. And I think Watkins is an ideal number three. I think they're ready to roll with those wide receivers if Bateman works out. And I think he will, but he's got to get on the field. So, and then we got PUP list has grown. Stephen Gilmore and Tariq Cohen to the PUP list. Any thoughts on that? I feel bad for the Bears. You know, I want to see Justin Fields get his, I like him a lot, and I want to see him have all of his weapons. And I think Tariq Cohen is, I like Tariq Cohen a lot. And, you know, I hate to see him go on the list. I like to see Justin Fields have as many weapons as possible. But, you know, this is just what's going on right now. This is why, for me, as a big time football fan, I can't wait for the regular season to start. Because right now people are going on these injury lists, and you know, they haven't even seen the game yet. Any thoughts on Gilmore and Cohen on the PUP list?
Well, I'd love to see some statistics. I'd just love to see some statistics on PUP this year compared to other years. Because it does feel like we've been really sort of like harshly dealt with injuries. Like, you know, talking about the Cowboys or talking about like the Ravens, like the Ravens from my point of view is, you know, it almost seems like, and I don't believe it is, but it almost seems like it's a make or break year for the Ravens as far as a passing attack goes. And they've had a horrible season, like horrible offseason, where it just seems like everyone's been injured at some points. So they haven't really got a rhythm going. And, you know, same thing with the Cowboys. It's like going into week one and all of a sudden we've got these questions about who's playing and who's not. So,
yeah
look, I feel like the PUP has been a real sort of struggle this year. Whether or not it's actually worse than other years or it's just I've noticed it more is the question. I don't know.
But yeah, it's, good point.
Going into week one, it's just so frustrating.
It just seems like over the past week, I keep saying PUP, PUP, PUP. And I just don't recall seeing it that much. But maybe then it's because since I'm, now that I'm with Toilets and Titles and I'm paying attention more to this stuff, you know, that's maybe just why I'm seeing it more. But yeah, I don't remember, you know, seeing like this many, you know, this many players on the PUP. But, you know, think about the Ravens too. And I mean, I'm a Giants fan myself, but the Ravens are a team that I've really liked for a long time. I just like the way they play. And that's a team that always seems to be dealing with injuries, a lot of injuries. And it, you know, definitely comes up, rears its head with them, it seems like every year, and it hurts them and holds them back. So I don't know. I'd really like to see Lamar Jackson get all of his weapons on the field and see what he can do, because he's got a strong arm. I'd like to see what he can do. And then, so moving on, what we had over here, Josh Norman to the 49ers. And, you know, Josh Norman, I'm kind of surprised he's still playing, to be honest with you.
33. I don't know how much he's got left, but he signed this morning.
Man, it seems like he's been around for 20 years, Josh Norman. My gosh.
Yeah. I feel like he's lost a step, but yeah.
Oh, he definitely has. He was definitely at his best in Carolina, and he wasn't all that great, to be honest. He wasn't all that great in Washington, I don't think. You know, he was fine. I mean, he was decent, but it wasn't like he was some elite quarterback or anything. And now he's gone. You know, I think he's going to be good depth for the 49ers. You know, and he, like you said, is only 33, which I am surprised about. It seems like he's been around for like 20 years. You know, interesting move. I think he's going to bring good depth to the 49ers. So, you know, and obviously he's a veteran who knows what he's doing. So, and before, you know what, we'll do the college news, you know, Alabama, I should say. We had it here on the Alabama quarterbacks. Let's do that last. Tennessee Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill activated off of reserve COVID, the COVID-19 list. So that's great news for Tennessee. It's also good for me. I have him as one of my backup quarterbacks, actually, in one of my leagues. So I'm glad to see he's back. I think Tennessee's going to roll. Any thoughts on it, Andrew?
No, I agree with you. I think it's,
good news. He's ready to roll. Happy to see that. Tannehill, I think you're going to have a great season. All right. And the last thing we were going to cover, this is a great point by you, Andrew, that you had in our notes here. Alabama's last three quarterbacks are now all officially NFL starters. Mac Jones, Jalen Hurts, and Tua. So that's really interesting. I like that point. I hadn't thought of that. And I think you added that note into this chart, right, Andrew? That's interesting. Any thoughts on that? Anything you'd like to say about that? It is an interesting factoid.
Yeah. I just thought it was interesting. So
it is.
I was surprised when I read it. I didn't really even consider it. And then I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just before we started doing this episode, I'm like, yeah, Andrew had thrown that in. I'm like, wow, that's a great point actually. But here's another name to remember, everyone. Bryce Young, the latest quarterback for Alabama, first start ever yesterday. He put up record Alabama numbers. He put up for his first game as a starter for Alabama yesterday. Bryce Young put up four touchdowns and 344 yards. So don't be surprised if in 2 years, this guy is starting along with Tua, Jalen Hurts, and Mac Jones. So that was a great game for him, and I'm really happy for him. So Bryce Young, remember that name, people. Remember that name, Bryce Young. But anyway, I guess that's it. Anything else to add, Andrew?
No, that's it from me.
All right. Same here. So that is another episode of Toilets to Titles News Break. We've covered all the news for this week, all the news that counts, at least that we think that counts. And that is it, people. Andrew, it's been great. I'm so looking forward to the NFL season starting on Thursday. We've already started our calendar of episodes, of shows that we're running this season. And I actually did my first episode of Cup of Joe this morning. So where I reviewed this weekend's NCAA game. So check it out, everyone. I had a lot of fun doing it. And it's just going to be a great, exciting week. I can't wait for the NFL season. Andrew, with your Dallas Cowboys, good luck. not too much good luck, especially against my Giants, but good luck. You know, you, John, and I, we have to get together and do like an NFC East breakdown or, you know, discussion on the division. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds good.
All right, man. All right. I know you got to get back to work. Take care. It was great doing this today, Andrew. Everyone, have a great night. Have a great Labor Day weekend here in the States. And is today Father's Day in Australia?
Yesterday.
Well, happy Father's Day anyway. Thank you. To you and everyone in Australia. Take care, everyone. Bye, Andrew.